Washington, D.C. to take back the White House?
Yeah! If there's a child on the south side of Chicago who can't read, that matters to me, even if it's not my son.
We're going to build the wall. We have no choice.
If there's an Arab American family being rounded up without benefit of an attorney or due process, that threatens my civil liberties.
Build that wall. Build that wall. Build that wall.
Tear down this wall.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
This is Political Potluck with Hormoz Rashidi and Matt Segan.
Political Potluck. Hey,
Political Potluck's back after about 3-year hiatus.
Has it been 3 years?
I recorded one episode I didn't put out because we just went on such a we haven't recorded any. We're back. This is going to be the second season, and
we've got video
now. And we got another election coming. It was like basically when the last election ended, I did a couple more episodes and then I just stopped doing it. But
right.
Me and you were best friends. We're constantly talking about politics.
Yeah,
and I figured why not, you know, bring it back and make it a productive part. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now instead of it being Political Potluck with Hormoz Rashidi, it's with Hormoz Rashidi and Matt Segan.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and we'll have guests.
Thank you.
Sometimes.
Thank you for trusting me and my pseudo intelligence.
Yeah.
To be here.
And very smart guy, funny guy. And we'll have guests sometimes.
Sure.
And sometimes we won't. But we'll talk about politics and hopefully be funny and, you know.
I feel like everything just keeps moving at a lightning clip. And
yeah, there's so many topics.
Yeah, yeah. In the 4 days since we started compiling topics, like the things we first came up with have become irrelevant.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's like Iowa.
It was a lifetime ago.
Yeah. What do we? Impeachment. Yeah, yeah. The Democrats fucked up. They should have fucking called witnesses in the House when they had the subpoena power.
Yes.
They should have just subpoenaed people.
Right now, like it's right in between New Hampshire
and South Carolina.
And South Carolina.
Yeah.
So impeachment was a lifetime ago, which I mean like 3 weeks.
Nobody's covering. Yeah.
Nobody's even talking about it. Yeah.
But man, they fucked up. It's like the thing is, it's like if your argument is they wouldn't follow a subpoena, Bolton wouldn't have came if the House subpoenaed him. Try anyway. What you can. That way you can say they ignored me instead of saying they would have ignored me. Democrats are such fucking pussies.
Democrats are right now proving to be like the bad news bears if they had like the all-star team for their lineup, but they still had like Walter Matthau screwing up stuff at the plate with bad calls and stuff, you know?
For everybody who doesn't get that reference, Bad News Bears was the old Chicago Bears nickname.
Yep.
And Walter Matthau is a made-up character
was redone by, obviously, it's Billy Bob Thornton is basically...
Billy Bob Thornton is
another made-up character.
A guy who won Academy Award for playing a mentally disabled person.
Did he win for that? That's right. Yeah,
thanks to Harvey Weinstein's help.
Thanks. Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's
true. Harvey Weinstein helped him. He was like a Miramax guy, right?
Well, that was a big one of the big early. Mm-hmm. That's right. That was a big Slave early Blade. Thing.
But man, everything's going so fast.
Everything's going so fast. and yet we've still covered it. It's all got this. That's the crazy thing is for the past 30 years, it's actually been the same cast of characters like on this crazy reality show.
Except for Trump. Trump's
been there, but
he wasn't a political. You didn't really think he was political until he took over the Republican Party.
Yeah, he's like
until he became the Republican Party.
He's the guy who 30 years ago was on this show as a douchebag in the background who suddenly got a leading role right now.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's like if Ian Ziering became the lead actor in Beverly Hills 90210. If everything was Ian Ziering.
Season 41 is Ian Ziering. Yeah, yeah.
Oh man.
And it's just cause he's the last one left. Yeah.
So Iowa, I have my conspiracy theories about Iowa.
Okay. So let's talk about this. The primary. Yeah.
The caucus.
The primary in general, just basically
the caucus in Iowa, I think Bernie won the most votes, first votes. Bernie won the most votes on the second run. Somehow Buttigieg won the most delegates. I think the Democratic Party purposely fucked up the app so that the story that night when people went to bed wasn't Bernie wins Iowa, and then they wake up in the morning and it's Buttigieg wins Iowa, and people go, oh, they're fucking stealing it from Bernie again. And I think they purposely did that shit to help Buttigieg because they'd rather have the moderate gay guy than the socialist.
Jew? Were you going to say Jew?
I was going to say socialist old guy, but I was like...
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. Let's make fun of
socialist Jew. Did I say that? Did I say that with enough oomph?
Yeah, yeah. No, no. I love the line reading. Thank you.
Jews, thank you, like, one of the only, like, ethnic groups / religious groups that you can turn just calling them their name into an ethnic... Now, you could do that with anybody, actually. Blacks. Right?
I'm totally not trying this. I'm not even getting near this.
Asians. You know, if you say it like that, Mexican. Trump proved Mexicans. Like, there's Mexican. He never called them like Spics or anything, but he just said, Mexicans are coming over the border. He did say, like, they're rapists, they're murderers, and some of them are okay.
Yeah. Back to your conspiracy theory. First of all, I think that the idea that, I mean, there have been news articles now that the Democratic National Party was possibly involved with the development of the app.
So not surprised.
Taking it out of the idea of a conspiracy theory, mm-hmm. what is it, would you say, is the... what's the problem with the socialism that we have? What's the problem with messaging it? You know, like why wouldn't the establishment want... someone who's got the base that Bernie has. What's the argument really against it? You know, especially if everyone's already saying, you know, Bernie's policies are really attack to the left in order to get a centrist policy on the books because you'd never get his far-wing thing passed.
I mean,
what's the argument by the establishment against it? What's the problem?
I don't know. I think the establishment in both parties are corporate political parties, and they represent the interests of the insurance companies and the lobbying, you know, the healthcare industry lobbying firms. And so they've taken so much money and have been serving those interests for so long that a guy who comes along and says, I'm going to scrap all the healthcare insurance companies and we're going to go to a more efficient Medicare for all system scares a bunch of people, and they don't want a guy who threatens to do that. Because one thing, maybe if the thing I think that they're really worried about is maybe if a guy comes out socialist and actually wins the Democratic primary, he might actually get a lot of people who don't normally vote to come out and vote for socialism and make the country socialist. And the people who make money off of the private healthcare industry and stuff don't want that to be socialized. He's not going to socialize everything. He's not going to, like, you know, not ever, but on healthcare, he's talking socialism, and that means less money for the people who are making money off of the healthcare industry and better healthcare for the people who don't have healthcare.
Is it a fair analogy, would you say, to compare the industry, the healthcare, the health insurance industry, mm-hmm. which in this case we're talking about, like, would need to be overhauled and moved into completely new positions in, like, a socialized mm-hmm. healthcare situation, which isn't even really what he. I mean,
Medicare for all is
just a single payer plan. And is it a fair comparison to compare the healthcare industry as it is now to, say, the coal mining industry, people who need to kind of evolve their entire fundamental
but the coal industry has to do that because their money isn't working. The natural gas is a better source of fuel that's more energy efficient, and it's like easier to take out of the ground.
Single payer healthcare is a more efficient use of money.
Sure, but single payer healthcare is not making money at all. It's saying instead of it's telling the coal company, the analogy would be a coal company going out of business because the government comes in and says, we're going to mine the coal and give it to the people at a discount.
Well, you know, I think the extreme argument of the Green New Deal is to sort of say that that the the old fossil fuel industry mm-hmm. needs to retrain its workers for completely, you know, evolved, different,
sure,
new fossil fuel, you know,
right. Or, yeah. or to build windmills or whatever, or to build windmills and turbines or whatever other source or tidal and electricity through tidal waves or, you know,
there's, tidal wave.
Right, yeah, there's yeah. other. Yeah. But the healthcare industry isn't being told you have to learn a new way to provide public healthcare. They're not saying like, hey, all these insurance people, you're just going to have to be retrained on how to be Medicare people. No, they're not going to hire a bunch of new Medicare people who used to be insurance people. It's a whole new bureaucracy that's going to have its pluses and minuses. The pluses, I think, are going to be everybody gets better healthcare than they have now, unless you're filthy rich. The filthy rich people are gonna have to pay out of pocket if they want that super good healthcare that they currently have, and no, which they
I mean,
will.
They're gonna get the same healthcare everyone else has. They just might have to pay extra for secondary healthcare to get to the front of the line for
or to go to their situations. There's gonna be private markets still. Nobody's gonna shut down the private markets, but middle class people and people who aren't filthy rich, it's gonna make no sense to go to the private market.
So. I feel like a lot of people like, you know, that part of the equation where you can save money. And this is my problem with Sanders, is like he identifies the problem so well. Mm-hmm. It's really our pocketbooks. Mm-hmm. And the way that we're comfortable with it being used, like, incorrectly now. You've got to pay so much money to the health insurance company. Yeah. You're just paying for their, you know, administrative costs more than it is your health care. I don't know how why he keeps harping on. I feel like his message is, no, I'm a democratic socialist, and that's different than the socialism that Trump is talking about, this evil.
I think he's trying to distinguish between, like, the communes in Russia and China during the Great Leap Forward and shit, you know, like,
I think you're right, but I think that I don't know why the argument
is. He's trying to point out Denmark. He's trying to be like, hey, look how happy people are in Denmark with their healthcare system, Canada with their healthcare system.
I don't know why he doesn't just say, do the math. Do the math. Who
because cares? Of copyright, Yang Yang 2020.
I know. And this is something else I was saying.
And Yang is a Asian.
Wow, that was the most uncomfortable callback I've ever
experienced. As an Asian, I'm allowed to call him an Asian.
As an Asian, because you're Iranian.
Well, because
we're
on Asian
video now, so I just want people to know.
Asia.
Yeah.
Parasite. We did it. Parasite.
I did love Parasite. That was great.
No spoilers. I haven't watched it yet.
Have you not watched it?
Okay. I'm like, I have like an hour left.
It's a read. It's a nice read.
Yeah. What's the last thing you read? I read Parasite. My girlfriend fell asleep and I read Our Planet on Netflix the other night.
Yeah. I was saying this earlier, which is like, there's all these rich people who are now getting out. Yang's out. We've got so many rich people getting in with Bloomberg and mm-hmm. With Steyer. The thing that and I think this goes back to the other point of the Democratic Party having the winning ticket and somehow losing it every time.
I think literally every single person who's running on the Democratic side, if they win the nomination by getting the most delegates and winning like normal, if everything goes out normal, not a what's it called?
Not a brokered convention.
It's looking like a brokered convention,
split in thirds right now.
But if one person wins and they win the most votes and they go into the convention knowing who's going to be the nominee, that person, I really truly believe, beats Trump, because I think Trump is still weak. At 49% approval, even with the economy doing good, which it looks like it's going to probably dip because of this virus in China. But even with all that, I think anybody could beat Trump.
The October surprise
is the convention.
Right.
It's going to be this brokered convention.
Or it's the coronavirus. Yeah. Or it's the coronavirus coupled with anti-vaxxers' hate of the flu vaccine.
Yeah.
But no.
That's the flu vaccine's bullshit. Don't take a flu vaccine. You're just going to get yourself sicker.
Year.
And you're the sickest person I've ever met in my life.
The mental effects, for sure. I think that I was saying this earlier.
But if there's a brokered convention, if Bernie has the most votes but doesn't win a majority, and then somebody else gets the nomination, Trump wins again.
What's the number for you that needs to make it a fair enough win for to make a unifying vote for the general? You know, what's the number coming
in? The person
in?
Who wins the most votes is the nominee. I think if Bernie has 40% of the votes, let's say, or he has 30,
I mean, 40,
or,
yeah.
No, I'm just giving that number. Let's say 35. Let's say he has 35% of the votes. And let's say Buttigieg has 30% of the votes and Klobuchar has 30% of the votes. If there's a Klobuchar Buttigieg ticket, they lose because the person who got the most votes is kept out. And all of those and the support and the enthusiasm is behind Bernie, really. There's going to be a huge decrease. There's already a distrust between the moderates and the liberals in the Democratic side. It's going to destroy that, and the Democrats will lose.
I think
any brokered convention, they'll lose.
I think the problem is that everyone's worried either about these Bernie people who say they'd vote for Trump or some instead of voting for Bernie, mm-hmm. which are like theoretically people who are like all the way to the left, you know, the extreme, and everyone in the middle, the moderate candidates, the centrist.
See,
candidates.
I don't think it's left and right when you talk about the cross section of Trump supporters who also support Bernie, who like both of them. They're not thinking big government, small government, left and right. They're thinking authentic people who talk on populist themes of nationalism and improving humans' lives on the lower levels. Trump doesn't do that. He gave big tax cuts to corporations and rich people,
but he talks about NAFTA
being bad. We're going to fix it. We're going to bring jobs back, coal mining jobs. He's a liar, but he feeds on populist principles. That's why they like him. Bernie, I don't think is a liar. I think Bernie is an authentic, cool dude. And I think he's going to do. Yeah. And I think
I
he would win.
I also think, though, he needs to find a better answer to, what is social. Do the math is where I go back to that. You know, do the math.
What's the question again? What are you saying? A better answer to what? I'm sorry.
Like he's going to say, you know, Trump's argument against single payer health care is going to probably be something like they're going to take away this. They're going to take away that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have the choice. You know, you have.
Right.
Why doesn't Bernie say, do the math? You know, your taxes are going to be raised. And
he does. Bernie always says, like, Bernie says, like, yeah, there's going to be a tax increase, but the average household is paying this much for healthcare. That's going to be that, like, so your overall burden gets taken off. He talked about it on Rogan. He talks about it when he has longer speeches and stuff. He talks about it. And I think when he's in front of the public as the nominee, when it's head to head, Trump versus Bernie, he's going to be able to say, hey, this is what I want. And his thing, too, what's great about Bernie is, similar to Trump, he's shooting for the moon. Trump was like, we're going to build the biggest wall and keep all these Mexicans off. Something crazy.
I think that's it. You've got to.
And Bernie's doing the same thing. Medicare for all. Everybody's going to get the best health care, best teeth, eyes. We're going to give you LASIK, breast implants if you want, titty implants, penis enlargement for Matt. You know, he said that shit.
Yeah. No. Different Matt.
Different Matt.
Yeah.
Shout out to Matt Edgar. You're gonna get that dick, dog. You're gonna get that.
I feel like I just threw him under the bus. Somehow.
No, what's great is nobody listens to this, so Matt Edgar is included in that. Nobody.
That's good. That's a good point.
We love you, Matt.
I was saying earlier to you, though, that all these billionaires in here, and none of them, like, if any of them really, like, the problem I have with Democratic centrists is they're all so egotistical. Mm-hmm. Like, none of them would ever put that money towards Bernie if he was the nominee. Like, and that's what's
that's
needed
true.
Is like billions of dollars. That's what you're competing against. Someone spending like
billions of dollars on millions of ads. Like, Bloomberg might end up spending billions of dollars on a political action committee, a super PAC that supports Bernie if Bernie's the nominee. Probably not. I'm guessing that this billionaire oligarch isn't going to be pro-socialism, but he could. But the difference is, if Bloomberg wants, as a billionaire, he can spend as much of his own money on his own campaign because the Supreme Court ruled that that's freedom of speech, is to spend your own money on your own campaign. Money is speech.
Well, I get that, but we're talking about...
for investing into another person's campaign, it's like $2,300 is the most you can give to any campaign, even if you're a billionaire. Now, you can then give more money to political action committees and stuff, but you can't coordinate technically with the candidate that you're supporting.
Well, I just feel
legally you're not supposed to.
This is supposed to be a different election, though, because this time we're facing an existential crisis, whether you consider that crisis climate change or, as it's known in the East Coast, Donald J. Trump. You know, and
I don't think anybody cares about climate change. I don't think anybody's voting on climate change.
I don't
think
anyone's voting on climate change. Yeah. But is everyone voting on Donald Trump? Is it the existential thing?
I think most are voting on who can beat Trump or healthcare. I think a lot of people are voting for socialism. I think a lot of people are going to come out and vote pro-socialism. The rest are voting.
I in fact think that there's a problem, and the problem isn't with the presidential election with socialism. It's the down ticket wind. Because
I hear you. I've heard this a lot.
We need to win big. You know, and
I hate that too.
I hate that. I hate that too.
But the down ticket argument, I think, might be true. We don't know.
We're not going to have a down ticket.
We don't know because we've never had a socialist run as the lead on the Democratic Party. He might get destroyed in a bunch of places that Democrats usually get destroyed in, though. Right. Like he might. Like, I don't think he's going to win Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama, and those places. Maybe he'll lose Florida. We don't know, but maybe he'll win it by a huge amount too. Like, we've never had a candidate who appeals to poor people and says, "Come out and vote for me. I'm going to give you stuff." We've had only candidates who say we need to improve the middle class. It's all about middle class because middle class votes. They always ignore the socialists. I mean the poor people. The socialist is now coming out and saying, "Hey, vote for me. I'm going to give you health care. It's going to be great."
Will they come out and vote? Is the question.
Maybe if they do, ticket, there might be a huge wave that takes over the House, takes over the Senate. Nobody knows. Everything I hear in the news about people acting like they know that the down ticket is going to get hurt if it's Bernie is all the corporate news coverage that loves corporate Democratic candidates like Buttigieg, Biden, and all these guys, and are scared, and they're trying to find a way to take Bernie down. I don't trust any of these news coverage.
That's not where I get my,
your feeling about it?
My fear about it comes from watching time and time again in the past 4 or 5 years, us follow
a liberal candidate who gets
us follow the exact thing that happens in England right after we see it done. And then we act surprised. So with the Jeremy Corbyn defeat, which he is sort of,
I don't know,
like,
anything about Jeremy Corbyn, to be honest. I don't know what character he has, how good he is talking. I think Bernie's a different person. They might both be super
they're
liberal,
totally different people.
But I think one guy I don't know Corbyn, but apparently his numbers were terrible, and he was very bad at like talking in public and shit. Bernie is comes across as a genuine person who's, I don't know,
but but he was also going up against their Trump, and we saw it with Brexit. We
the
saw
poll
it
numbers
with,
were in favor of Boris in England before the election, and when he called a new election. The poll numbers here right now are pro Bernie against Trump.
They're also
in polls.
Pro everyone against Trump.
Sure.
If you look at them.
But Bernie is winning, and Bernie's kind of a known person because he ran 4 years ago.
I mean, you know this about me. Not everyone knows. I'm like kind of very pro Amy Klobuchar.
We got a Klobe over here.
Yeah.
A Klober.
Yep.
A Klobieber. A
it's all because I knew another Amy that I liked in high school, Amy Stein. So that was always cool. No, it's she was my favorite that I saw.
Amy's
personally.
Cool. Amy's cool as far as
and she's
the moderates.
Moderate.
She's pretty chill.
Yeah.
Seems like a sweet lady.
But I haven't filled out my, and I'm voting by mail. I haven't done that yet. I'm still waiting personally because I want to see how Bernie reacts to being the front runner as he, he's been flirting with his front runner situation for a while, and now he actually gets to go out on the dance floor, I'm curious as to
I just think the argument, the down ticket argument is an unknown. And when political pundits and people act like it's a known thing that it's going to hurt the down ticket votes, I think that's crazy. I think if anything,
I don't think it's a known thing.
I think if anything, people are going to come out to vote against Trump, or is going to vote against Trump no matter what. And people who are going to come out to vote for Bernie are going to be new voters. I think if anybody brings in a large new group of voters, it's Bernie. Other than that, every other candidate is still going to get all the people who are anti-Trump to come out, including Bernie.
Do you think that there are people who were like never Trumpers, though, that will come?
I think they'll just vote. Write in a vote.
You think they're going to write in a vote?
The never Trumpers are like Republicans who say, I'll never vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Those people aren't going to vote for a socialist. Those people didn't vote for Hillary either, though.
You don't think there's unifying candidates?
We watch Bill Maher every week. We see a bunch of never Trumpers come on. And then when they're asked, oh, did you vote for Hillary? No,
yeah.
I did a write in vote for blah, blah, blah. Somebody who couldn't have won.
This week
and then,
on
and
Bill
then,
Maher.
And then Bill Maher gives them shit.
Here's where I'm
going. Because it's a half a vote for.
This week on Bill Maher, a centrist said that he wouldn't think of voting for Bernie.
Yeah.
Now, so the question is becoming right
now. I think that's bullshit.
Well,
I don't think that guy's a centrist. I think that guy is a like mainstream media corporate titan, like one of the editors at a major mainstream media source, and he represents the elite corporate interests, not mainstream interests, not moderate. It's just these terms, I think, are used to make people afraid, but I think actual middle of America moderate people would vote for anybody against Trump.
I guess. I mean, the situation that's being set up there then is a big gamble, because it's about who thinks whose base is lying. The Bernie camp, who's saying we're not going to vote for a centrist, or the middle of the road.
I think we already have proof of that. The Bernie side, a lot of people didn't come out and vote for Hillary, and a bunch of them in the Rust Belt states, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, that area, came out and voted for Trump. There's like there's a thing where the number of votes that Hillary needed were lost from Bernie voters in the primary who went and voted for Trump.
Of those people have come back to vote for Bernie in these primaries.
Well, we haven't had those primaries yet. Right. Okay. In the Rust Belt
Fair
states.
Enough.
We
yeah,
haven't
in the had Rust the Belt states. Right, right, right.
But you're right. Bernie hasn't done as good as people predicted.
Yeah.
But
it's also been a harsher winter. I mean, so.
Yeah. I mean, also this time the Democratic Party was able to see ahead of time that this guy might be the head runner and be able to put some roadblocks like a bullshit app in Iowa, you know. But hey.
I think that's the real fear is there being a.
I just hope Biden stays in as long as he can, because Biden's going to be Bernie's best ally, because Biden's going to take maybe 20% of South Carolina.
Do you think the ticket should be, what if the ticket
Bernie
is
Biden?
Bernie Biden?
Just the oldest men.
Becomes like
grumpy old men.
Grumpy old men, and they'd win outright. They'd be like, you want an old white man?
Yeah, we got two.
We've got two of them, and these two are hilarious.
One of them used to own slaves.
Very in on the joke with you, unlike Trump. Yeah, it's a. I think that would be funny if he like ends up having a career that is identical to Julia Louis-Dreyfus on Veep.
I didn't watch it.
He just can't get out of being vice president.
Vice president, she should become vice president again?
I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty certain. Yeah, she does.
Spoiler alert. Hey, can Bloomberg win? That's my question. Do you think Bloomberg? Do you think the Bloomy?
I'm glad you asked that, because I think it's.
I say no.
I don't think he can, but I think the reason I think he can't is a reason that I think is really present for everyone right now, which is their past affiliations. It's something that you should be able to hit Trump with in a heartbeat, and you can't for some reason. But I think the number one thing you're going to be able to call against Bloomberg, aside from stop and frisk, is to say he used to be a Republican. He's a flip-flopper. It's the same thing you used to be able to say about Mitt Romney. It's a failure in that proportion.
And I just don't see Bloomberg winning the nomination outright. I think if Bloomberg gets the nomination, it's on a what's the term again? What's the word? I'm forgetting. Brokered convention. If Bloomberg wins, it's from a brokered convention where he has a large plurality and gets it that way. And I don't think he'll have the largest plurality. I think the way it's looking, unless a bunch of people get out, like Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Buttigieg, and Amy, you know, a bunch of them have to all unite and be like, we're all going to support Amy, or we're all going to support Pete. And I don't think that's happening. They're all going to split it. And I think Bernie's going to have the biggest chunk. And if Bloomberg takes it, it's going to look like the billionaire bought it over the socialist. And
versus now, where it looks like the billionaire bought it. Yeah.
What do you mean now?
I mean, he's Bloomberg already, right now.
Yeah. You know, and if Bloomberg gets the most votes, it'll be like the billionaire bought it. Yeah. But if he doesn't get the most votes, if Bernie gets the most votes,
I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. But I also think the one thing that he has that has been fantastic is this amazing amount of wealth that can counter this misinformation campaign going on with that is definitely coming for whoever's in line to be the nominee on the other side. It's scary to think that
that's why you need someone. That's why Bernie. I don't know. I'm a big Bernie fan. I've given money. You know, you've given money to Amy. I've given money to Bernie.
I've given thousands to Amy. Thousands of pennies. About 2,500.
I think Bernie.
Dollars. Do the math. Bernie. 2020.
I think you have to have somebody that the public knows already and likes. I think some people don't like socialism, but they like Bernie. He comes across as authentic. You're going to have whoever comes from the other side is going to be called a socialist.
It's going to be called. I think that's
you need
true.
Somebody who can stand up and be like, yeah, and this is why it's better than your bullshit. That's, and I think Bernie would win. The poll numbers show Bernie winning in all those key states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio. It shows Bernie winning in the Electoral College, shows Bernie winning in the national polls.
Yeah.
Bernie's already a known thing. Trump's already a known thing. Those polls I take more like, you know,
I
value
hope,
in versus the polls of Mayor Pete or even Amy. I think Amy's great, though.
Here's the thing, she's lovable. With Bloomberg, going back to Bloomberg, is the amount of money he's able to throw in, specifically in the form of targeted ads in like those media outlets that he's about to like, you know, I mean, he's doing brilliantly.
But he's gonna have to join debates and stuff soon.
I agree, but what he's doing is skewing the polls. I don't trust the polls because of that. Because everyone, you know, I mean, you've got such a huge number of candidates already. So the people who are actually making that choice today or whatever are being inundated with like so many choices. They're looking at a piece of paper. They're gonna remember two: the one they went in there for, maybe Bernie, who they're on the fence about, and then who's that other guy? Oh yeah, I just saw that ad about in Bloomberg. You know what I mean? Like it's like the last. It's the sort of like that huge dump of ads gives such an advantage to him as name recognition, right in time for when they're doing polls that it doesn't.
But we've never seen
out.
It work though. We've never seen anybody try and do it. Skip the first couple.
We've never seen anyone put this much money
into it. Yeah, we've never seen it, but we'll see. I doubt it, because now it's starting, the audio tape of him talking about the best way to get guns out of people is to stop minorities.
He's got
so many problems.
People
are just seeing a bombardment of the best stuff from him without seeing any actual magnified stuff on Bloomberg. Bloomberg, I think, is just doing a great job of dividing up the moderates to help Bernie.
Is
all
there
the moderates are just
that
doing
they can throw at Bernie, though? I mean, aside from socialist, which we know Trump is going to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that
what else can they do?
I mean, they're already talking about this. What, the honeymoon that he had in Russia? I mean, they're going to try and tie him as the.
I don't think it'll stick. I don't think any of that stuff will stick. I think all the people who are like the birthers against Obama is that group who are going to be the rushers against Bernie. And they're all already coming out to vote for Trump. The people in the middle aren't going to be swayed by some bullshit stuff like that. What it's going to come down to is two men, one being Trump, who comes across as like an authentic asshole, right? Yeah. And another man who comes across as an authentic, good old grandpa. And I think the grandpa, who's been right since day one, is going to beat the shit out of Trump.
But
we don't know. We've never had it happen. Also, Matt, you pointed this out when we talked about bringing the podcast back, Political Potluck. Matt was like, it's potluck because we smoke pot. Right. Or something along those
true.
lines.
True. I mean, I definitely, you know, smoke to help me get to sleep in these times
this
where
weed is
hot,
Pete
where
weed.
Political anxiety keeps
weed.
Me from sleeping.
This is Mayor Pete Weed. It'll get you high as fuck in the polls.
Yeah.
But it'll make you a little bit gay. Mayor Pete Weed.
Right, right.
Shout out to Pete. Thanks for the weed.
You've got to put the entire filter in your mouth. Yeah.
So let's smoke this joint.
This does get like, so, and this becomes super, this is the most interesting and anxiety inducing
political
election
season,
I've
yeah.
been involved in my life. And it's just gotten crazier. You know, I don't know if it was like this ever before. You know, I felt like 2000 was the best. It was going to be the most excitement I ever had in an election, you know, and now we're, if this is anything other, and this is where I hate that thing. It gets me so upset. Mom, I'm sorry.
Drugs.
but it's legal. We're California.
Thanks, Mayor Pete. I'm not voting. Oh, dude, you know what annoyed the fuck out of me?
Okay.
Sorry. I got a text.
So much from, better already.
From somebody from the Bloomberg campaign.
So, you know, I was driving
His
over
name
here.
Is David.
Yeah.
And this he hit is... me up and it was like, hi, I'm David from Mike Bloomberg's campaign. With so much at stake, America deserves a Democratic candidate who can beat Donald Trump. Will you support Mike? And I wrote, how did you get this number?
Right.
He replied back, we received this number for a list of registered voters.
Yep.
I'm like, what? You can just get, I registered to vote and candidates get my number?
They can get your number. Yeah, it's a... they're not allowed to use it on a mass text base because that's not this
a one-on-one?
Is this is what but considering what they do, yeah, because they're not sending you a mass text. There's one guy, Dave, who sends a targeted, you know, who has a list of
I don't like that.
Voters, and he, because he just hit send,
and because Bloomberg's got so much money, he can hire Dave to just send messages out.
This is what they're all
Fuck
doing.
Fuck you, Bloomberg.
I've actually
Stop
had
it.
That happen, not just for Bloomberg, but for...
yeah, I've gotten it from other candidates.
Get,
I figured I gave some money to
LA,
the DNC
California
last year.
Stuff, yeah.
And I figured I fucked up. You make mistakes in life. So, and I heard Nancy Pelosi talking about impeachment and shit, and I thought they were going to subpoena Bolton and all this shit. I was like... being proud of the House Democrats.
What did you give money to?
I gave money to like the fucking House Democrats something. Something I got. I was just high. I got an email.
Yeah.
It was fucking, it was foggy out. Foggy in my head. And it was like, Nancy Pelosi's doing this. Fucking gonna subpoena people. Blah, blah. I was like, all right, hell yeah. I'll give you guys $10. Can you give us $10? I was like, sure.
Yeah.
I thought giving them $10, I was like, that's how they got my number and shit. Was like doing it through my phone there. And
no,
I
mean, there's yeah, there's
so
a lot
if
of
I register to vote, my phone number is given out to candidates. That can't be true. That I hope that's not true. We should do research on that. That seems
we should,
fucked
for sure,
up.
But there is I mean, there's a lot more of that going on this year. It's the same info that they get in order to get your address to send you all those mailers. Right. Except you have to. Except
but address
doing
is different than phone number, though.
It is. It is. And they're using a loophole in it. The FCC doesn't consider the one-on-one communication to be outside of, you know, that's
but giving
that's
away the phone number, though, is like who's the state of California gets my phone number for voting purposes or whatever. And then they're allowed to give it away.
I mean, you gave it away. Theoretically.
I gave it to California. If I think that they got my number through the DNC, who I'm pissed off at and will never, ever give money directly to the Democratic Party ever again, because I the only reason I'm even registered as a Democrat just to make it easier to vote in California. But will never give the money directly. I think that's why they got my number. I think the Democrats are giving out my number to the moderates in the party.
I honestly don't think we should look into this. But I honestly don't think that's what's happening. I think this is like a new law that was allowed in. I don't know. I was just listening to it on the way over. Warren Olney had something on it and someone on talking about these micro targeting things. Mm-hmm. And
but did he talk about how they got the numbers on that?
I don't know. I was driving too, so I'm sorry. I can't simultaneously memorize things.
Not forgiven. Memorize,
they
Matt.
Said that like traffic was going to be okay today because it's a holiday. It's President's Day today as we record this, right?
Hey, before we fight too much, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry too. Yeah, I just get wound up, and these times are just hard, and they're getting even harder. Mm-hmm. Trying to feed and water my seed. Mm-hmm.
Feed and water my seed.
Between being a father and a prima donna.
What are you? What is this?
That's an Eminem lyric. As a Caucasian, it's one of the few.
Which Eminem album is this?
That's from Lose Yourself, isn't it? It just, you didn't hear it because I wasn't doing it in the time that he did. I just delivered it.
like in Shakespearean acting?
I felt like I was being pretty normal sounding, but yeah.
Let's talk about some of the good things Trump's done, though. We're not just an anti-Trump podcast.
You know what I think was, you know, recently my favorite thing that recently was blown over, and I mean that in the most punny way possible, is all this money that went to the wall, and it was recently like blown over by wind. That was the biggest like was news it? That no one. Yeah, it's true. It's true. They said because it hadn't settled into the cement, but it blew wind. Heavy winds blew it over.
That's called God.
Long enough for several people to smuggle like
that's so funny.
Stuff in.
That's so
people
funny.
Come in. I mean, this is like real. I'm not quoting anything, but I know that it's. I can't think of what I'm quoting, but what the source is. I mean, but for sure, it was wind that knocked over this brilliant wall that the great builder in chief knows how to build.
Should have gotten Chinese people to build it.
How does
their wall still up?
How can no one actually like hold them accountable to having been a Democrat? How does he get away with that stuff? I don't get it.
I don't know. I think
it's his performer nature, you know?
I think part of it is the Democrats are pussies who don't stay on message and just start attacking and making fun of. Like Republicans, if like, let's say Obama walked up his Air Force One with a piece of toilet paper on his shoe, Republicans would be all clowning at the same time. Making fun of him on Fox News in different interviews and be like, hey, if a president can't blah, blah, blah.
No, it's true. Well, look at what happened this week. Look what happened this week with how Trump interfered and Barr interfered and like kind of covered it up in plain sight with Roger Stone's case, how they're doing it with Flynn's case, you know, like how he's tweeting stuff.
Yeah.
And talk about the lack of getting into like a furor about it, you know. It was a
Let's
huge
explain that
deal.
Better though, because not every, some people might be listening and not know what happened.
So this past week, you know, Roger Stone who was found guilty of lying to Congress and threatening a judge or something, and
withholding
counts,
evidence and nine counts
against him that he was found guilty of, and the recommended sentence came down for 7 to 10,
which is what the law says should be the recommended
sentence.
Though
it is on the high end, and I guess President Trump, who's friends with Roger Stone,
tweeted that
it's like unfair. Yeah. Followed by Bill Barr.
Everybody was giving Bill Barr all this love. They were like, oh, Bill Barr, he's so dope. Standing up to the president. Even Bill Barr had enough.
Barr said something in an interview like this tweeting's getting in the way of me doing my job. And it's like, which just sounds like, to me, like he's like, admitting to covering up. He was like, I was dealing with it.
Exactly.
I don't know if I'm explaining it very well.
No, I think Barr was already going to make sure
That Stone doesn't serve that kind of time.
And Flynn doesn't serve that kind of time.
I think it's basically the new pardon. You know, we're not going to see Trump in an election year actually pardon one of his friends. Instead, he's going to delay sentencing.
He'll do it in December.
Or get it down as far, or debate sentencing for the next year.
Yeah, he'll delay it as much as he can. And then in December, if he loses, he'll pardon. If he wins, he'll commute the sentence, and then he'll pardon the December before, you know,
right.
Later.
So that's what happened. So what I'm saying, though, is that it's like perfectly fine for the president to interfere with his handpicked head of justice head of the Justice Department in making better sentencing terms for his buddy.
Yeah.
But And there's nothing that anyone needs to say about that on the Republican side. But when President Clinton got onto a plane with Loretta Lynch on a tarmac in something that he wasn't even directly involved in, and it's not the president doing it, then everyone's allowed to flip out.
Well, it's because...
Like,
it's
how
because
is one interference? How are we having these two... It's like watching...
I'll explain it to you.
Checkers players playing chess
players. It's because Democrats play... Exactly what you said. Democrats play with one set of rules, and they set, they've done this to themselves, because as soon as they do something that seems improper, they attack each other, and they really go after it. Republicans, especially now, have Donald Trump has realized he can play by whatever fucking rules he wants at any point.
It's like
and the Republicans are just fucking cocksuckers.
They're
the truth is like and we talked about
shepherds of their base.
They
though,
only
you know?
Care yeah. about the right to life of the unborn fetus. That's the only
that
issue.
Is the big
that Republicans really care about
when it comes down
and
to
tax cuts.
It,
they're like cut taxes. And cut out abortions.
I mean,
that's really what they vote on.
First of all, everyone's for tax cuts. It's just like tax cuts for the rich. Yeah,
but why do the people who vote for Republicans? If you look at why they vote Democrats, if you look at why they vote, a bunch of people vote for healthcare. The biggest group is for healthcare.
Right.
The second biggest group is like, foreign policy. Depends on if we're in war with Iraq or not, or you know, how bad the foreign policy stuff's going. Yeah. And then, like, environment. There's a bunch of issues. Education. Democrats vote on a bunch of different issues. Republicans vote on
the
abortion,
right to life. Yeah, and,
tax cuts, and then in some areas, guns is, like, their third big issue. But guns is a much smaller issue than those two. Like, right to life is the issue that they vote on. Yeah. They love Trump because even though he fucks hookers and fucking grabs pussies, he said, I'm not going to let women get abortions. I'm going to make sure that judges... overturn Roe versus Wade, basically, you know, wink. Yeah. And that's what they vote on.
And that's the thing that the open hypocrisy, it seems to me, because it seems like the, when you say right to life, it's really just like right to an abortion if you can afford it.
Yeah.
But
honestly, like what's wrong with letting each state decide? Like the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Roe versus Wade but even before that, most of the states on the coasts were like California already had legalized abortion. A bunch of the states had legalized abortions. What is it about? I don't know. Why not let federalism do its thing? Some areas want to not have this thing be allowed, and some areas want it to be allowed. Most of the people who are I'm pro-choice, but I live here where I'm pro-choice.
Yeah.
If I lived in Alabama, I would be a minority, and like, should we have minority rule in those states? Where in the Constitution does it say that, you know, I don't know. I think it's a complex issue. I'm pro-choice because I don't, as a non-woman, I don't know enough. I can't even imagine being a woman. So I just stay out of it. And I think it's better to let women choose, you know?
Yeah.
But I also see the other side of the argument too.
I think it's such a,
And it hurt the Democrats because I
thing
bet
to do a okay. Well, go on.
I bet that if they would have not even dealt, if Supreme Court hadn't dealt with it, I bet there would have been most states passing their own abortion laws that allowed at least you know the first trimester. But what I know, I have no idea. That's just a guess.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we should not be having this conversation without guests.
Yeah, we should have a woman
like too,
for this
yeah.
topic for sure.
Oh, okay. We can have a woman too. But, sure. No,
honestly, Carlin is the guy who George Carlin is the one who shaped my views on abortion. Because in Back in Town, he was just like I don't remember exactly the joke, but it was like talking about priests and stuff. He was like, "You ever hear about any priests, offering to have these aborted fetuses implanted in their uteruses?" No, because that's something Jesus would do. It was basically like, if you don't have the option of being a person who can get pregnant, mind your own fucking business. Let the women fucking decide this.
Right.
But in these states like Alabama, I think the women even are pro-choice. I mean, are pro-life.
Yeah. And that's I think the answer to the short answer to your question is that it becomes like, should we let states decide? Not if it imposes like, maybe not if it, if there's a state that would impose what part of the law, such a huge burden.
Where in the Constitution does that say that? Because the Constitution says everything that's not in the Constitution goes to the states. That's the 10th Amendment, right?
I guess. Well, isn't a lot of what we talk about today really just an interpretation and reinterpretation of certain words in the Constitution, like
for
right
sure
to life? What?
No, there's no right to life.
Human right is what I meant.
I think the reason human, that they like, allow what abortion mean? What is, right now
what is inevitable
is,
human rights and
is like a legal like search and seizure kind of thing. It's like you. Like, I think that's kind of where they ruled on it was like the right to privacy, the right to your own, the privacy to your own body, which I believe in. But also there's life, yeah. You know, when is it literally right when it comes out of the pussy or right when it gets out? Or is it the second before? Like, what do
I
we
mean?
We need a woman.
Years,
we need to get a chicken here.
The other thing is that crazy. Everything is constantly being redefined. I mean, we're not even talking about when we get into a future where there's like artificial intelligence that's going to want to have certain rights and inalienable rights. yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
A future with aliens where there are alienable rights that we have to worry about.
Dude, I used to have, when I was a kid, because we moved here from Iran, I had a card that it said alien registration card. And as a kid, the first time you read a card that has your picture on it and it says alien registration, I was like, is this like Men in Black shit? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You really thought, yeah. You're like, why can't I jump across the street in one leap? Yeah. It's
I hope Biden stays in, man.
You hope Biden stays in?
Yeah, because he's chopping up the moderates up. I hope Biden stays in. I hope Amy stays in. I hope everybody stays in as long as they can. And Bernie gets...
I wish it would go down more, and because I'd rather start hearing a single debate. Right now, we've got to sit and listen to three questions get asked of 12 people.
It's true.
And,
it's true.
And
be
everyone's
better.
Got to say, Tom Steyer is the best one. His last
Tom
performance
Steyer, get him
in
out
the
of there.
Debate was just basically like, everyone's got a better idea. Vote for one of these people. You know, he's the best case, and I feel like he might be he's the one we need to attack as to being like, dude, put your money towards someone else. You would do it. I don't believe Bloomberg would. He'd rather put like lifts in his shoes.
That's a Trump telling point. That's what happens when you add pot to the political pot.
Where did I hear that he's got the Bloomberg hired comics? Who said, was that on Bill Maher or something? Or
maybe. Yeah, I remember hearing
and
that.
And I've said it for a while that we need to get like comics into better writers.
Al Franken. You love Al Franken.
Well, just because he's already doing it.
I think Michael Moore. Michael Moore's funny and have him write some of your shit for you. He's I think fucking.
Why isn't Bruce?
Hey,
Bruce
I just want to give a shout out.
No, I mean,
if
it's
AOC.
Mayor Pete, Bruce Valanche would be perfect.
Who's
to
Bruce
like
Valanche?
He writes everyone's Oscar speeches. He's like
Bruce Valanche. It's an actor, right? It's a comic.
Yeah, he's an actor. No, I mean he's an actor. He's like
he writes everybody's Oscar speech. He's known for that.
He's famously known for writing everyone's Oscar speech. He's also he's an out really.
Speaking of Oscar speeches,
you
wrote down over here.
Oscar
speech wins. What did you want to talk about? Oscar speeches.
When was the Oscars? Last weekend or something?
Yeah.
It's like that was so long ago.
Super dated.
I was saying that at the time because we watched this together, and Joaquin Phoenix gets
so,
up there.
So what a nut job!
Everyone loves his
taking. Do they? I thought he was fucking. You take the milk from the baby cow, and then you take the cow and you take it away from his mom, and it's like fucking.
Man,
made me want to get a burger. Made me want to go.
Right. I've heard this argument before, though, that like we're raping the cows to get milk for a coffee and stuff. That's like really how it's been put to me. And
I like what you said when he was on stage and he said that. I like that you stood up and you said, "I'm glad your brother River died." Right? Remember when you were like, "I'm glad your brother River died." And you started laughing just like that. Remember that?
No.
I was proud of you because it's like, I don't agree with your stance.
I love Young Indy.
Young Indy.
No, you know.
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No, he was in, he played Young Indy in
Last
the third one, Last Crusade. And, you know, I think that what was weirdest about that, I think it's my bigger point to me about just veganism in general. Mm-hmm. Totally for it. Eat plants. I personally think you've got to eat, we are made to eat
meat as well.
To be omnivores. Yeah. But humanely raise it. Let's not. I don't want
to. Honestly, I love beef and pork.
But this is the thing.
But I do feel bad about it. Pigs and cows, like mammals in general, are like so close to us. But I love the taste.
Who wants to have inhumanely treated like meat? The thing is we've allowed it to become out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
That's a bigger societal thing.
But and there's laws against airing footage of what happens in factory farms.
There's laws against it built by so many lobbyists for the food industry. But, you know, like once it's eventually the argument of saying that and like demonizing people for being like human and forcing them to be to do first of all, there's a hypocrisy in his initial argument where he's like, we've got to treat the earth better and all be like, you know, vegan, but because we're not above any species, it's like, so we're putting ourselves below species. We're not having bears become like vegan. We're not like, hey, no fish for you. To Joaquin Phoenix, you know, like in his his thing, which was really about injustice, it was really about veganism.
I was like, where's he going with
this? Oh, okay.
All injustice, whether it's prejudice, Black Lives Matter, or if it's a cow who's being artificially inseminated.
So that we can
and then has the milk taken away so we can drink it in our coffee. And then the baby cow is taken away from his mom.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just that like we were drinking coffee when we heard that. No. But but I just think that, like, where does that stop? Does it stop? I don't know if this was caught, but I was saying that, like, would we do this for other species? Which was something he was like, we're all equal species. Would we do this for other species? Would we make bears stop eating fish or whatever?
Right.
I think it
there are some assholes who, like, make their cats be vegan, and those cats get sick and die young.
Yeah, I think it ends with like us. The next evolution of that is like getting angry people for eating plants. You know, like
right. And you were saying broccoli actually screams when you pull it out of the ground. You were saying,
oh yeah, I did say that. Like, it's a funny thing. That is a true thing.
That's a true thing. I didn't know that. I thought that was just something people say as a joke. Like, even broccoli screams.
I mean, not every single piece. I think it's like got to be grown right. You can hear. It makes an audible sound or something.
Interesting.
Much more than. But it's a stalk. It's a big stalk.
You would think carrots would, because. But that's not a scream.
Well, you're not pulling. No, you're broccoli separating and it goes, the broccoli.
Yeah. Ouchie.
Yeah. It's got
Should we do a test?
What do we?
We've
testing?
Got broccoli. We could take a bite, see if it screams when you bite it.
No, it's not when you bite. It's when you pull it out of the ground.
Owie!
It's not the little floret. It's like what's.
Oh, I'm swimming in ranch.
It's the part that we don't see in the market.
Oh,
you know?
They throw that shit away. Oh, it's probably all just so fibrous.
It's so fibrous. Yeah. It's like kind of a tuber or something.
Why don't they even pull it out? Why don't they just cut it and let it grow up again? That's not the way it works, probably. It's probably because I don't know how broccoli works.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a farmer. I'm not sitting here like raping cows or whatever. Not that that's what all farmers
do. What else did you write here? You wrote here.
Also, you want to talk real quick? Renee Zellweger, who had her big moment to shine, just like thanked every person who's ever. I appreciate the gratitude that both of them showed. Honestly, as like an actor, I really appreciate. I mean, this business is so tough. It really does come on like the heels of relationships you make, right? So I understand everyone being grateful, but like. I didn't know that she. I feel like one person got up there was just like, I'm so grateful to be so lucky for all these opportunities, and the other one went up there was just like, I'm so grateful for, you know, having made so much money that I can afford a gardener. I think, and like, thank you, Sam the meat guy, or
thank you, Bob. I met you last week. You delivered an Amazon package to me.
Yeah, I feel like that's where it was going. And they didn't give anyone else that kind of time. They played everyone else off, like who probably had more important messages and stuff, you know.
Yeah. But they don't play off anybody who's like super famous. That's one thing I noticed. I was like, if you did producing,
I mean, they tried to play off the
foreigner.
After they won Parasite, they had to like have them raise everything.
Yeah, I saw that. That's some racist bullshit right there. They were like, all right, the Asians. As an Asian American man, I felt attacked.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's so good. I'm Iranian, you know? It's better just to say it, you know, not let people think it. But I wrote this down, and it feels like we're talking about the Iraq War. War with Iran? Because after we killed Qasem, it seemed like it was going to happen.
Now it's got to have an IR at the beginning of the name. Like
no, but didn't it feel like we were about to go to war with Iran maybe? And then suddenly it's not even a possibility. It seems like it's fine. Iran's not even an issue anymore. Like we killed their guy. They bombed Iraq.
Yeah.
But told Iraq that they're going to bomb it ahead of time. And it was just like, all right, we're good. You killed our guy.
So fast.
We did something.
I think it's like in that scene.
So fast.
Yeah. It's like we're a tiny speck on this organism that we used to think was a baby, but now we realize was a puppy. That's why things are moving so fast. We're moving in dog years fast, you know?
Shout out to Jared Kushner for solving the Israel-Palestine stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. In one fell swoop. He just seemed to.
People didn't think he could do it, but apparently he did it.
And it feels like it does just feel like something that like he made up this solution years ago when he was given this assignment and he put it away and dealt with all the other stuff that was going on. They're like, hey, what happened with the Middle East? He's like, oh yeah, I got that somewhere.
He didn't even do it in college. He copied you know, one of his friends.
It's not even the most original thing. It's just
it's two-state solution. Israel gets to keep all the parts of the West Bank that they've already got settlements on, and Palestine, you can have two little benta stands that are separate from each other that you can call one country. But how is one country going to have two separate locations other than America with Hawaii and Alaska? Because
that's how big
our dick is in America.
Or as they say in Hebrew, eat a schmuck.
Suck our cock. Suck our circumcised dicks. I think those are actually the terms of the Israel-Palestine deal is Israel in Palestine, they have a two-state solution. Israel is willing to let Palestine suck their cock.
Right.
If Palestine's willing to say thank you and get the fuck out of their way afterwards and make them a sandwich after they come.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, my question to you as a Jewish man is why isn't that fair?
I remember there was a comic I once heard who had like a joke about like Israel and Palestine. Like they have like different words for the same thing. Like Israelis call it hummus and like Palestinians call it hummus or whatever. It was like, and then they're like Israelis call it Israel, Palestinians call themselves Palestinians. Israelis call Palestinians what are Palestinians? I forget who it was, but it was pretty funny because it's sad and true.
This is the world we're in now. It's crazy. Yeah, I hope Biden gets out. I think Biden's stumbling.
Yeah, as a Bernie supporter, I hope he stays. But I think for the good of democracy, I think it's better if he gets out. Because yeah, it is better to have two choices that symbolize the choices more, and then have everybody vote and get. Oh, I got a ladybug on the couch over there.
Oh yeah, because you've always got ladybugs.
I released a bunch of ladybugs in our yard, in our garden patio area, and now they've gotten inside too. The other topic I wanted to cover before we finish up is I heard a thing on like the New York Times Daily podcast that I found interesting. Hillary won the popular vote. She barely lost by a few thousand votes in the Rust Belt states where a lot of the coal mining jobs used to be, and now they're a lot of the natural gas jobs. And they interviewed a bunch of people. It's a small group of people. It's about like 30,000 people, I think, who like have really good paying jobs in the natural gas industry, used to work for the coal industry. They're Democratic voters who voted for Hillary last time even. So these are people who if Bernie loses them, he would need to make up that vote in those Rust Belt states who are saying they won't vote for Bernie because of Bernie's anti-fracking. Fracking, very bad for the environment, more natural resources out of the earth, very bad for global warming, but is
really great.
Is Bernie's stance on it
for the word fucking, I think.
What is it? Fracking?
Fracking. Yeah. Great substitute if you hate profanity.
Yeah. But is Bernie's stance on fracking and on global warming and on the Green New Deal and that kind of stuff going to cost him those voters who are usually Democratic voters? They're union voters who are in who voted for Hillary last time, who are saying they're either going to not vote or they're going to vote for Trump if it's Bernie. Now, as a Bernie supporter, that scares me because 30,000 votes in a state like Michigan is a lot of votes. To flip the other way. These are 30,000 Hillary voters,
especially
who aren't going to vote
about
for Bernie.
Something that is most likely going to be a really close race.
It's
going to
be close, yeah. And Trump's going to have a lot of support out. I still think Bernie can make it up. Polls in those states show Bernie winning.
You're really right. I think it comes down to two things, though, with messaging. Mm-hmm. One, I mean, is Trump actually bringing these jobs back?
Which is no. Yeah. The natural gas jobs were like already coming back under Obama because Obama supported natural gas as well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like Obama did a lot of moderate Democratic shit, which is like moderate good shit that Republicans were down for, too. And now Trump gets credit for it.
I mean, I think this goes to the climate change debate.
800,000 jobs a month were being lost when Obama took office. 800,000 jobs were being lost.
I mean, I hate that argument because the situations were so different. It's like...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying he was... Like, when he took office when we were losing a bunch of jobs and it was a recession. He brought us out of that and it kept going up. And it's continued to go up after he left. And now Trump's trying to take credit for that shit. And it's always what happens is,
yeah, I mean, you take credit for. If I believe in a conspiracy theory more than anything about within the party, I think it's within the Democratic Party. I think it's that every time that they see that they're going to lose, the Republicans like detonate some sort of bomb, like the recession in 2008. You know, yeah. like they make one boneheaded decision about letting Lehman Brothers like die out or whatever, and it sets off this catastrophe. We make one Trump's doing it weekly. I don't know.
I don't think it's a conspiracy theory where because I think the Republicans still wanted to win that election with McCain. I don't think they, and I think McCain just happened to be terrible on economy. He was good at foreign policy.
I think
they
knew once they saw it was Obama that
they were going to lose.
He was bringing with him, yeah, because he has such a crazy turnout. I think how can you not?
I don't think they knew because
and this is the other.
I think they were afraid.
Who's got the votes? You know,
they knew the turnout was going to be huge. I agree, and I think that's why they picked Palin. Because they were like, let's get a huge turnout on our side and see if we can get women to come out and support us.
Right.
And they were shooting for the moon because they saw a big win by Obama. And I think justifiably. But I think they still wanted to win. And I think that's why they picked Palin, was because she was the only shot they had at becoming a more of a change candidate.
Yeah.
Turned out she's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
She's a dumb. You know,
everyone's just making like
Matt always says women are dumb in general. Sarah Palin was the dumbest. That's a Matt Segan quote. Matt Segan.
Yeah. I mean,
cast him in your thing
as like
Hollywood
6 or 7 days ago.
Days ago.
That was it.
I think global warming, nobody gives a fuck about, except for people who are already going to vote for whoever's on the left side against Trump.
I think
it's a losing issue for Bernie.
I'm
worried about it.
It's a losing issue for Earth.
But I hope Bernie wins. And I think that could be one of those issues if it is close. But I have to say, if Bernie's the nominee and he ends up winning, I don't think it'll be close. I think if Bernie ends up winning, it'll be a landslide win.
They're going to
try to steal
the general
it.
The general. Yeah.
In the general, if Bernie wins it, it's a landslide win. If he loses, it's close, and they may steal it. Because if it's even close, they're going to steal it. He has to win.
That's
big.
The thing that's crazy.
And that's I hate the Democrats say we have to win big, but I feel like it is a corrupt system. And they will try and steal it, especially.
I don't see how we actually sustain ourselves as a major world power the way we have, in a second Trump term. I think we are going to lose our standing. Other than money,
I think we'll still be a world power because our military is so strong and our our consumer economy is the second biggest in the world.
Yeah, but
after
if we
China.
Lose the, I mean, I think it all comes down to an ability to create a new sort of like fuel source or a green, the economy that can create the green technology needed to fight the losing fight of climate change is the one that's going to lead the world straight to hell. And that's why I'm depressed.
yeah. I mean, I think,
that's why I'm in therapy.
I think,
oh my God, I think hit that. No,
capitalism will actually end up fixing the problem. And
do you
and
believe
it's doing
in capitalism?
It. I do. I for sure do. I think capitalism is a good source of getting ideas to turn into dope things, and it's incentivized by money, and I think it's a great thing.
Why can't we call it
to remove capitalism from healthcare and certain other things because
why
government, I think, can run better.
Why not call it that? Like, right there, that's better messaging to me. Capitalist socialism versus democratic socialism. You know, why let the Republicans write attack ad for you?
Because you could be like, I want a capitalist economy that creates so much wealth that we can tax that wealth and have a socialist safety net for the poor people. I agree with you, dude. I think that's what we need is capitalism plus socialism.
Yeah. And the only way we can do that is by having Bernie as the nominee and his number one advisor and joke writer, Al Franken.
Super Tuesday is coming up March 3rd. Okay. You don't want it?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we got to do a quick shout out to our sponsor, Louis Vuitton lighter cases. When you need a lighter.
I didn't know that they were our sponsor. This is
pretty dope.
They gave us money for this?
Yeah. Dude, of course. Louis Vuitton lighter cases. When you need a lighter and you want it to be heavier and covered in a pretentious lighter case. Louis Vuitton lighter case.
It's beautiful. It's hip. And the memory card's full.
Do you think
the memory card's full?
Oh.